Do me a favor this morning, turn to Luke chapter 10. If you're using the Pew Bible in front of you, it is number 792. So it's in the Bible, it's 792. And we're going to turn to Luke chapter 10. Now, by show of hands this morning, how many of you would say that you would just, it would be really great if you had more time? How many of you just would like more time, by show of hands? Awesome, okay? How many of you would say, I would like more time with friends or family? Now, if you're sitting next to friends or family, you might want to raise your hand at this point. It might be a good idea. If not, you're going to get an elbow in the ribs. But remember, in this series, no elbows, no elbows. How many wish that you had more time to relax? Oh, wouldn't that be great? If we just had more time, which really means less stuff, right? We could have more time to relax if we were less busy, if we think about it. Now, how many of you would say, I really would love and desire more time with God? More time with God. Yeah, good, good. And you want to make sure, again, that your neighbor raised their hand because, yeah, I just don't want to back up if, right? So, okay, now what if God said to you this morning, okay, I'm going to answer that prayer. I'm going to give you one more hour in your day. How cool would that be? What if you said this morning, I desire God one more hour. Just give me one more hour. And he said, okay, Kaylee, you got it. I'm going to give you one more hour. Now, the question is, what are we going to do with it? Now, be honest, how many of you, the first thing you thought of was sleep? Go, come on, come on. This is church, y'all. We need to be honest in church. It's true. It's true. One of the first things that we think about, in fact, when I even asked the staff that, the staff was like, oh, I totally would sleep. Because if we had one more hour, we think to ourselves, well, that's one more hour I could spend sleeping or getting rest, which is good. Because the truth is, the last time that you had a free hour or the last time that you had a free day that was just out of the blue, you probably didn't spend it with God, right? I don't know what you're thinking. Oh, no, he's going there. No. You're okay. You're safe. Because that doesn't make you a bad person. The last time you had a free day, you didn't spend all day, all 8 hours with God. And the last time you had a free hour or a free moment, you didn't sit down and spend it with God. That doesn't make you a bad person. You know what that makes you? Normal. It makes you completely normal. And for me, I tend to think about, you know, like kind of an analogy of the car. Have you ever driven a car that had really bad balance, really bad alignment? What happens? You let your hand off of the wheel and where does the car go? And it starts to drift, right? You have to remind yourself that that's the way that we were born. We were born with this propensity to drift off center. See, Christ is in the center. And when we were born with this desire to kind of, we've got bad alignment. So we have to constantly fight against culture. We constantly have to fight against society. We constantly have to fight to come back in alignment with God. So really, for us, when we think about, you know, our time and how we use it and how we utilize it and everything, it goes back to even our hearts. And we weren't born with the desire for God. We were born with the desire for evil, unfortunately, and it's like a car that's got bad alignment. And so maybe in this series, maybe what we hear today, it's an opportunity for us to realign and come back to the center. So we started this series. My notes say here last week, but if you were here the last couple of weeks, I haven't even gotten a chance to preach, which is great. And we love that. We love it when God's Spirit just breaks out in a special and sweet way, and we follow that. I'd rather that happen every week than us force fit or do something that's not of God. Amen? So for us, we started this series called Margins. I just want to remind you what the definition of margin is so that we're all kind of on the same place. So margin is the difference between what you have and what you need. Margin is the difference between what you have and what you need. So if you remember, the examples were, if you've got $100 in the bank and $80 worth of bills, you've got $20 of what? Margin. If it takes you 20 minutes to get somewhere and you have 30 minutes to spare, then you have 10 minutes of what? margin, right? And we talked about the fact that we live on such a razor's edge of margin. If it takes 30 minutes to get somewhere, we usually leave at 29 and a half, right? And then we just pray, Lord, give me all those traffic lights. Give me all greens, baby, right? And then here's the problem. Sometimes when we hit that red light, we're like, God, are you really there? Are you hearing me? I've been praying. When the reality is you can't blame God for the traffic lights. You have to maybe leave a little bit earlier. That way we don't have to try to do all these holy aerobics to try to get there on time, right? So today I want us to consider something. I want us to consider, as we talk about time, I want us to consider the difference between quality versus quantity. Quality versus quantity. And I want us to think about that as it relates to our time. Because really the truth is, we don't need an extra hour in our day. We need to do a better job spending the 24 that we've got. Can I say that again, church? Because the reality is for us this morning, we don't need an extra hour. We don't need to pray, God, give me one more hour. And he says, poof, yes, I answered that prayer. You have 25 hours now in your day. We don't need 25 hours. He's given us 24. What we need to do is be a better manager and a better steward of the 24 that we've got. Because when we do that, when we have the opportunity, then we start to see health increase. We start to see stress levels go down. Remember the statistic that over 80% of hospital visits, 80% of visits to the doctor are in some form or fashion or some way stress-related. Over 80%. That's a large number, folks. So when we start to add margin into our life, we pray and we hope that it starts to increase health and it starts to decrease stress. And these are some of the byproducts. So you opened your Bible, so Luke chapter 10. We're going to look at a story this morning, and it's a story of two sisters. It's a story we're pretty familiar with. If you've grown up in the church at all, or if you've heard this story before with the two sisters, Mary and Martha, we have on one end the sister who treated the perspective of time based on quantity. It was, what more can I do with what I've got? It's, how much more can I put in there? And I want to get as much as I can done in the short amount of time that I have. So it was more quantitative. Now we have the other sister, on the other hand, that took more of a quality approach to her time. She recognized the necessity for margin. And instead of focusing on how much she could get done, she instead focused on this quality of what is getting done. So let's pick up the story starting in verse 38. So we're in Luke 10, starting in verse 38. It says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner that she was preparing. Let's stop there for a second. Now, one of the things we have to understand as we begin to look at this story, it's really important to realize that Mary and Martha were both given the same opportunity, okay? It wasn't like that there was some misrepresentation of opportunity here. No, Mary and Martha were given the same opportunity. They both had the opportunity to make the choice that they made, and we're going to see the choice that they made. And the truth is, I'm sure that if we focus on Mary for a second, Mary had stuff to do. Let's just be honest. Mary, I'm sure that laundry was piling up. I'm sure that the groceries needed to be bought. The kids had to be taken to soccer practice. You know, maybe she had a PowerPoint presentation at work she had to get ready for, and so she had to take some time to get that stuff done. It wasn't like Mary didn't have anything to do. Mary had stuff to do. But Mary made a choice to say no to the good things, so that she could say yes to the best things. Let me say that again. Mary said no to the good things so that she could say yes to the best things. Now, let's go to Martha. Let's just be really candid. Most of the time when we get to Martha, we start beating on Martha, don't we? We start kind of getting on to her because she was kind of the workaholic. She's in there. Jesus is in the other room. Mary's working. She has this big meal to prepare for. But the reality is, we need to kind of let off the throttle a little bit on Martha. Because what she was doing wasn't bad. I mean, look at what she was doing. First of all, she invited Jesus into her home. So when you invite somebody into your home, there's natural things that you're going to have to do to prepare for their visit. And he was coming to her house, so there was stuff that she had and felt like she needed to get done. She was expected to get the good dinnerware out, right? She was expected that this was one of those meals that we're going to eat in the dining room, right? You all know what I'm talking about, right? We're going to eat in the dining room. You know, it's that meal when you sit down and all of a sudden your kids go, "Mommy, why are we using these plates?" And you're like, "We always use these plates." This is a typical meal in the Spangenberg house. Would you like to join us? You know, right? So there's expectations. There's expectations that come with this. And what she's doing is not evil. It's not bad. And it's not sinful. What she's distracted by is something that really wasn't going to devastate her spiritually, if you think about it. So let's go back and look at Mary real quick. Mary can be seen sitting. She can be found sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching. Now, this is interesting because there's a problem here. There's a problem. And the problem is women were not permitted to sit at the feet of a rabbi and listen to their teaching. Now, sure, they were permitted to be a part of the crowd, and they might be external, and they might be on the peripherals and listening in. Now, the one thing you have to hear is that Jesus was radically different. Jesus invited anyone, women, men, it didn't matter, sinners, clean, unclean. He invited them to come and to participate in his teaching. So this was different with Jesus, but most in the rabbinical system, it was not permitted for women to sit at the feet of a rabbi and listen to their teaching. So this is now a little weird. So all the Pharisees that were probably there and they were looking in on this situation, they're going, wait a minute. There's a lady sitting at your feet listening to your teaching. Like, really? I mean, who does this guy think he is? So this was weird. So the truth is, normal then and normal now just isn't working. So what was normal then, that it was only men and it didn't include women, that wasn't working. And guess what, folks? I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Normal isn't working now either. When it comes to our time, when it comes to the things that we do, normal just isn't working. Because really, think about it. What's normal now in marriage? Divorce. It's now normal. Normal with kids is that they're going to rebel. And we just say, oh, they're just going through a rebellious stage. And we say that's normal. Or we say normal in relationships is that they end in brokenness. Or that it's just expected that when you date somebody, when you go out and have a relationship with somebody, you're gonna be hurt. That's just a part of it. That's now normal. I mean, normal in our scheduling, normal in our calendaring, normal in our work is that we're going to be overworked, that we're going to be busy. And that, I can't tell you how many times I ask people, hey, how's it going? How are you doing? And the number one response, busy. And here's the funny part. It's me, too. People ask me all the time, Pastor, how's it going? Oh, wow, it's really busy. It's busy. Things are busy. I've got things going on. Things are crazy. This is now the new normal. But think to yourself, really? Really? That's normal? We now accept that? Being overwhelmed and running around and being stressed out and being miserable, that's normal now and we're okay with that? I'll be honest with you, I'm not okay with that anymore. I'm not okay with that for myself, and I'm certainly not okay with that for you. I'm not okay when people come and they say, man, I'm running around, I'm doing all these things, and it's really busy and it's stressful, and I can't seem to get these things done, and I keep doing and picking up more, and I have to go over there and everything. And I just want to tell people, stop, slow down, breathe. But because everybody around us says that's normal, we just accept it. And folks, I'm not willing to accept it anymore because it's not normal. It's not normal. You know the difference between normal and weird, right? Right? You know the difference. When you're driving down the road and all of a sudden your car goes gong, 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 what is the first thing you think to yourself? Oh, that's weird. right? Now, I know, some of you this morning are going, no, that's actually pretty normal, actually. That's par for the course, Pastor. I'm driving down the road, and my car goes, clunk, 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 and I'm like, oh boy, here we go again, right? But really, the truth is, that's weird. In fact, just yesterday, we were on our way up here to the church, and we were helping out, trying to get up here to help out with landscaping and things, and all of a sudden, when we stopped at a stoplight, the van just started vibrating. It just started vibrating, and we were like, what in the world is going on? But we didn't think to ourselves. In fact, my wife leans over, and she goes, that's not normal. She's like, I drive this van all the time. That's not normal. So it's weird. Your kid comes home from school and they don't want an afternoon snack. They don't want a snack. They just sit on the couch and they kind of stare off into space and they start to lose their color a little bit, and all of a sudden they end up, you know, losing it in the trash can. You don't think to yourself, oh wow, just another typical day. What do you say? Oh, that's weird. You see, weird is what happens every once in a while. Normal is what happens over and over and over again. If you're stressed out chronically all the time, and if you're worried all the time, and if you have high anxiety all the time, guess what? That's your normal. That's not weird. What I'm asking us to do is to be weird. We need to be weird. I need to give you permission to be weird. We need to be a church filled with weird people. I'm cool with that. I'm totally cool with that, because I'm the weirdo. I'm the weirdo of the bunch. Like, I'm the biggest weirdo. And you know what? The truth is, until I start to model what health looks like for you, then you won't have necessarily a really good anchor point to see it. Unless we start doing things differently as a church and we start teaching you what it looks like to be healthy in our relationship to God and relationship to others, then we're just going to keep perpetuating what's normal. I don't want to be normal anymore. I don't want to be normal anymore. I want to be weird. Weird for God and his kingdom. So, it's funny, my dad, they would always say, Bob, how are you doing? My dad's classic line back to them was always, well, I'm overworked and underpaid. Right? Has anybody else ever heard that expression? Well, I'm overworked and underpaid. You know, and the funny part was, we would, ha, 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 you know, and he'd kind of laugh at my dad, but, you know, there was a part of that he'd walk away and say, no, seriously. It's like, why do people laugh when I say that? You know, it's really true. I'm overworked. I'm underpaid. You see, Mary, in this situation, was weird. Martha was the normal one. Mary was weird. And look, Jesus even responds that way. Look at the second half of verse 40. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all of this work? Tell her to come and help me. Now, isn't that funny if you think about it? That she's tattling on her sister to Jesus. Jesus! She's not helping! Right? It doesn't change. Just you get older. That's it. You just get older. It doesn't make her help me. Right? And that's the thing. That's the thing. Martha is killing herself in the kitchen. And she's living up to everybody's standards around her. She wants to make sure that everybody looks around and they say, wow, look how normal Martha is. Martha is acting normal. Jesus looks at Martha and he says, Martha, stop being normal. Can't you just be weird like your sister? Right? I had this like vision in my mind that, like, you know, Mary's sitting over there. You look over. Right? You know, and she's like sitting there, and Martha's in the kitchen, she's slaving over, working, and trying to get this meal prepared, and Mary's just sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words. But Jesus says to her, Martha, stop being normal. Just be weird like your sister. Because look at verse 41. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. Look at verse 42. This is a highlight. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. You see, Mary discovered the only thing worth being concerned about, and you know what that was? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, folks, I know at this point that most people go, that sounds really nice. And that sounds really great for Mary. I'm so excited that I get to read a story about a person who made that choice to sit at the feet of Jesus. But Pastor, you don't know my life. You don't know my schedule. You don't know what I do. I can tell you honestly, folks, I do know. Granted, you know, most people think that I only work one day a week, but it's not true. But the reality is, I do get it, and I do understand. And it really comes down to a choice that we have to make. See, Mary and Martha were both given the same opportunity. Jesus looks at Martha and says, Martha, your sister made the right choice. And nobody can take that away from her. He wanted to teach her that, granted, I understand what you're doing in the kitchen, Martha. I understand the running around. I understand the kids need to go to soccer. I understand that there's a PowerPoint presentation. I understand all these things. But Martha, it's okay. I want you to say no to the good so that you can say yes to the best. I want you to say no to the good so that you can say yes to the best. So what does this look like for us? How does this apply to us? How can we be more like Mary? How can we be a little bit more weird? Ephesians 5. Verses 15 through 17 reads this, be careful, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Is this not true? Now you have biblical proof that you can tell people, you know, they're like, wow, what kind of a day did you have? I don't know, but mine was evil. No, seriously, it says it right there in Ephesians. The days are evil. Right? Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. It means take into consideration, what does the Lord want us to do in this moment? What is the best of us? Now, I'm going to teach you one of the best questions that you can ask yourself that's going to be a really help. A help. If you're taking notes, take notes. If you're not taking notes, take notes. So the call here in Ephesians 5 is to be wise. Not as unwise. See, Mary in the story was wise. Martha was unwise. Not dumb, just not smart. Right? There's a difference. I've been studying Craig Rochelle for this series. He actually studied Andy Stanley. Andy Stanley did a series a long time ago on this particular topic, and I've been reading also a book by Don Swenson called Margin. If you haven't picked it up, it's a great practical read. It helps you to understand all of the aspects of margin that are needed. I'm only covering a couple of aspects, but there's more to it that we need to take in consideration. I mean, even margins in our relationships, margins in our emotional well-being, margins in our physical health, margins. I mean, there's so many areas where we can gain knowledge and learn. So in studying Greg Rochelle and for a help in the series, I read his book a long time ago when it came out, and then the book title was Weird. Now, I got to confess to you because you'll get a good chuckle out of it. Many of you know that I'm dyslexic. So actually, when I read the title of the book, it was so large and big, I got confused. I thought the book title was Wired. And I thought it was all about how we are wired. So I started reading this book, and I started reading it, and I was like, this doesn't tell me how I'm wired at all. This is telling me how to unwire myself. And then all of a sudden I figured it out. It was like, it says be weird. I'm like, oh. So I was reading this book called Weird, when this came out, and here's something profound, and this is the takeaway for us this morning as we wrap up. When people want to add to your calendars, you need to ask yourself a critical question, right? A lot of times, what we hear first is, are you free? So people want to add to your calendars, or you have to make a decision about adding something to your calendar, or saying yes, or choosing something. The typical thing that we first think about is, am I free? So we look at the calendar and we go, oh, I don't have anything on that day, so I'm free, right? Which is not bad. That's probably one of the first places we want to start, because you don't want to double book yourself and you don't want to commit to too many things at one time, so you need to check. But I think it's a good question, but it's not the best question, right? Another question that we tend to look at is, well, is it right? So we look at it from the perspective, is it right or wrong? You know, so am I free? Yeah, I'm free. Okay, well, is it right or is it wrong? You know, well, it looks like it's something that I would really enjoy doing, or it's something that might be fun, or, you know, so we look at that and we go, well, that's good. You know, it's not wrong. It's not asking me to do anything that goes against my morality or anything. So we ask the question, is it right or wrong? And again, it's a good question, just not the best question. Really, for us, the best question that we can ask is not whether we're free or not. And it's not whether or not it's right or wrong. But here it is. Is it wise? Is it wise? Remember what Ephesians 5 says. Ephesians 5 says, live as wise, not as unwise. The days are evil. We need to make the most of every opportunity, which means we need to call on God. Wisdom is one of those things that when you faithfully ask Jesus for it, he will faithfully give it to you every time. So we need to ask for wisdom. And we need to pray, Lord, I want to be wise in my decision making. And so when you look at your schedules, when you look at your calendars, we need to stop asking if we're available or not. Because just because we're available doesn't mean we should do it. Right? And we have to stop looking at if it's wise or if it's right or wrong, because there's a lot of really right things that we could do, but it doesn't mean that we should do it. But instead, what happens if we started asking the question, is it wise? Because it takes into consideration way more than just the 24 hours a day. Remember, we don't need an extra hour. We need to spend the 24 that we've got better. So we ask the question, is it wise? We need to start doing this today. We need to start doing this today. And the reality for us is we need to say no to the good so we can say yes to the best. Would you say this with me? Say no to the good to say yes to the best. Say it one more time. Say no to the good to say yes to the best. You know, in your own life, my heart and my desire for you as your pastor is to teach you how to be wise. How to be wise in the way that you handle finances, to be wise in the way that you work in your marriage, to be wise in the way you raise your children, to be wise in the way you schedule your calendar. That's my heart and my passion, my desire for you. I would love that for you, but I can't make you do that. And this sentence is not a sentence that I don't think is just going to drive who you are as individuals. It's going to drive who we are as a church. Because there's a lot of things that we are going to say no to. You realize that no is a complete sentence, right? When you type the word no in a sentence, no, period, it's a complete sentence. People ask me, I've had a lot of wonderful opportunities over the years, and I've started to say no to really great things. And it's funny because at the early stage of that, when Kaylee and I were kind of first married and these opportunities would pop up, man, I'd be all over them, you know? And then I look at her and I would say, how can I say no? And she would say, it's easy. No. I have found myself a couple of times actually saying yes to things when in last minute I've had to go back and say no because I didn't listen then and realize now that I should have said no then, right? You guys tracking? You tracking? So the reality for us this morning is, what does it look like for you and I to live on mission with Christ, to be on his mission, to recognize that there's a lot of good things that are going to come our way? And what does it look like to say no to the good so that we can say yes to the best? What does it look like for us to just realize and just be okay and comfortable enough to say, I'm available, but it's not right for me to do right now? And is it right or wrong? Man, it's right, and it's something that would be awesome, but it's not the best thing for me right now. And to ask the question, is it wise? No, it's not wise for me to do that right now. And when you start asking, is it wise, man, then you're relying on God's wisdom. Then you're relying on God's wisdom, not just your own. And when we start to trust in God's wisdom, man, our Revelation 3:8 prayer that we pray often around here, God, open the doors that no man can close and close the doors that no man can open. Isn't that good news this morning? Stand as we close. Would you receive this benediction? In Trinity Family, as many of you know the benediction, just we hold out our hands and we receive it together and repeat these words after me. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are dismissed.